Good afternoon. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church here in Hoyleton, Illinois. We are gathered here this afternoon to say goodbye to our dear brother in Christ, Louis Nerman, a beloved father and grandfather and a friend to many. And as we do that, this of course is the week after Easter. And so we remember that Jesus won the victory over death and the grave. And the tomb was empty on Easter morning, and that gives us hope and joy, and we know that we will experience eternal life, and we know that Louis is enjoying that life in heaven with Jesus right now as we speak. And so we're going to really focus on that resurrection message today, that wonderful gospel of Easter. And so as we do that, we'll be beginning our service, which is printed for you here on the blue bulletin. We're going to begin our service today with an Easter hymn. Number 461, we're going to sing stanzas 1 and then 6, 7, and 8. I know that my Redeemer lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Louis was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." We now join together in speaking the words of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Louis and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our first reading today comes from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Paul writes, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. Our gospel reading comes from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. "Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Having heard the word of God, we'll now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith, the same words that Louis confessed with us, using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which are found on the back flap of your hymnal. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on the old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to day for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the family and friends of Louis Nierman, to those who are gathered here today to celebrate his life of faith, as well as to mourn its earthly end, and especially to you, Natalie and Jennifer, Louis' beloved daughters, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I first had the opportunity to meet Louis about 14 months ago or so, which is just about how long it was ago since we were gathered here to say goodbye to Verdell, Louis' beloved wife of 61 years. That was back when I was still brand new here in Hoyleton. And I remember back then that Louis was already having kind of a tough time getting around. He was here in his wheelchair, and I remember some of you had shared with me that it had been a while since he was able to come to church and he was able to take communion. And so one of the things that happened at that service, or after that service, after the luncheon, as everybody was getting ready to leave, Louis actually received the sacrament right there in the hallway on the ramp leading out from the gymnasium into the parking lot. And I remember thinking how amazing it was that this man who had just watched the love of his life be buried, and with all of the other emotions going on that day, that he didn't fall into despair, he didn't lose hope, he didn't become angry with God, even though those are a lot of natural human emotions when we react to things like physical death. But he didn't do any of those things. Instead, as he's getting ready to leave and as he's starting to think about what his new normal is going to be like, he had this desire to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of his sins, for the strengthening of his faith. He drew closer to God in that moment because he knew that when tough times come, and they come for all of us, that's when we need God the most. And so I can tell you, as I made visits to Louis over the course of this past year, and as we all saw his health decline even further, that he definitely had his faith strengthened. He grew stronger, even in those difficult days. As the days went on, he grew closer and closer to Jesus. And so, of course, we're gathered here to reflect upon the 86 years of life that the Lord blessed Louis with on this planet. And we're also gathered on the Saturday after Easter, just 1 week after we got to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ won the victory over sin and death and the grave. We're able to do the same thing today that Louis did his whole life. We're able to rejoice in the midst of our suffering. We're able to trust in God in the midst of our grief. Because this Easter season reminds us that we already know the end of this story. And death, whether we're talking about the death of Jesus Christ or the death of any Christian, including the death of our beloved father and grandfather and friend Louis, death does not get the final say. And that's what our gospel reading from Matthew 28 is talking about. Reminding us that the tomb was empty on Easter morning. That means joy. That means hope. That means eternal life for Louis and for all of us. Jesus is alive. Louis is alive. Verdell is alive. And you are alive. Because of the righteousness of our risen Savior Jesus being placed upon you. And nobody can take that away from you. Not even when one day, like Louis, our bodies will finally breathe their last. Nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And Louis knew that. And he believed it wholeheartedly. And because of that faith, that's what led him to live a life of service to his Lord and to all of the people that the Lord placed in his life, whether you're talking about his family, his friends, his service to his country in the United States Army Reserves, or, of course, all the people that he worked with day in and day out for 34 years as a civilian mechanic at Scott Air Force Base. Louis's life was a life of service. People who knew Louis back then tell me that he had the greatest work ethic out of anybody you'd ever meet. He woke up early, always needed to make sure that he was going to make it to work on time. It didn't matter if the weather was kind of dicey, if the road conditions weren't so great. I think I heard that in 34 years of working there at Scott Air Force Base, he only missed one day of work, maybe two, because of weather. It's pretty impressive. Basically, if there was any way for him to get there, he was going to get there to take care of all the maintenance on those vehicles and make sure that everything that those airmen needed was ready to go when they needed it and that everything was in tip-top shape because he really took his responsibility seriously and he was greatly appreciated for that. He lived out his life of service here at church, too. He took on a few different kinds of roles here at Trinity. For a while, he was the one who counted all the church offerings. And he also took a leadership role at one time. He was an elder here for a time. And then, of course, there's the service that he had for his family. He loved to take his girls shopping. He loved to help Daryl out, driving the tractor, using his mechanical skills to help you fix all different kinds of equipment. He lived in service to Courtney, his granddaughter, and I heard a really great story about how when you were at the St. Louis College of Pharmacy, and he would come out to visit you every week, which is amazing. Sometimes you guys would just kind of talk there in the parking garage, and sometimes he would actually take you home, and there was one time when you were heading home and you were downtown and your mom took a wrong turn and you ended up in the Veterans Parade. You're kind of laughing about how, you know, with Louis sitting there up in the front seat, you probably could have blended in pretty well. You know, and not every day was perfect, right? He definitely dealt with his struggles and definitely had not so great days at times, but even in the midst of those days, he was kind of known for being the one who would be able to talk to anybody and joke around and kind of cheer everybody up by telling some of the greatest stories in the world. I know when I would go to visit him in the hospital, I would see Louis just, he was kind of tired or in pain or maybe had a stomach ache or whatever it was, but he wouldn't focus on that. He wouldn't focus on himself and how he felt. He would ask me, well, how am I doing? He would ask me about how my kids are doing. You know, this is the kind of guy he was. He was focused on others. And like I said before, all of these things are directly related to the faith that he had in Jesus Christ. He served other people around him because he knew that our Lord Jesus first lived his life in service to us. Our second reading today really captured this pretty well. From Romans 14, St. Paul reminds us in verse 7 that none of us lives to himself. And none of us dies to himself. Sometimes we try to convince ourselves that out here in the world, we're kind of on our own to figure everything out. And it can be really tempting at times to try to actually live our lives that way. You know, to try to just do everything we can to make sure that things come up good for us, that everything goes well for us without really thinking about the decisions we make and our actions and how they affect other people. But that's not the way that God created us to live, and certainly that's not how Louis lived his life either. We were created to live in community with one another, to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, to sacrifice our time and our talents and our treasures for those who are in need. Paul says we're not living and dying for ourselves, but he goes on to say, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Everything begins and ends with the Lord, with his grace and with his mercy. And without those things, we would never be able to take our sin and be made acceptable to God. But thankfully, he's had that grace and mercy on us. Everything begins and ends with the Lord. And that was so true for Louis in his life. It all began 86 years ago when Louis was about 2 weeks old. He was brought to the baptismal font. He was welcomed into the Lord's family for the first time. From that point forward, he belonged to the Lord. It continued a few years later as he was instructed about the love of God in confirmation classes at the E&R Church in Oakville. In 1945, that was his confirmation day, he stood up there and he proclaimed that he belonged to the Lord. Then a few more years down the road, he met the love of his life, Verdell. They were married in December of 1955. Louis became a Lutheran the very next month in January of 1956. I'm sure there was no coincidence there, was there? And you know, the two of them together proclaimed that their marriage belonged to the Lord. A few years later, they were blessed with the birth of Natalie, and then a few years after that, Jennifer. And Louis proudly brought you two to the baptismal font and proclaimed that you belong to the Lord. And on and on and on like that for decades until last year as we faced the passing of your mom. And how comforting it was to know in that moment that Verdell belongs to the Lord. And here we are again. And we're saying the same exact thing today. And we know and we believe without a doubt that Louis right now belongs to the Lord. Paul says, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. What an amazing thing that is. And just as comforting as it is to know that we belong to the Lord is also to know that the Lord belongs to us. That Jesus gave himself for us on that old rugged cross. That's that message of that hymn that Louis loved so much. And it was an honor for me to be able to sing it a few moments ago. I know Louis would often complain that he just couldn't carry a tune. But, you know, he really loved music. And even though we go through life clinging to an old rugged cross with all of its splinters and its bloodstains and its shame, that same cross and all of the negativity associated with it is exchanged when we die for a crown. And my friends, that crown has been placed upon our dear brother Louis. and the pain and the sickness and the suffering and the sin, all of it has been nailed to that old rugged cross. And all that remains is eternal life, which was won for us there. The empty tomb of Easter, the glories of the heavenly kingdom, where one day we will be reunited with Louis and Verdell and with all of the saints who have gone before us. Because we, like them, belong to the Lord. In his most holy and precious name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our service continues now as we sing our next hymn, How Great Thou Art. It's hymn number 801. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection, Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet, Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family of Louis Nierman and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love, Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks for Louis and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is Onward, Christian Soldiers, number 662. You may be seated.